This is RTI, Radio Tatras International.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening. It's me, Lee G. Banks, in freezing, raining, broken Britain, which has just entered a new dark age of choosing between eating and heating. It's winter here, and fuel prices are about to go up again to keep all those nice power executives warm. £7 for a gallon of petrol. Now £1 an hour for electric. Nearly £20 a day to keep warm in some cases. And that's the old and the vulnerable, ladies and gentlemen. Well done, caring, sharing Britain. I tell you, I've got the wrong list here, so I've lost everything I was going to say. But over in Australia, we have Rachel Hot Pants Brunsdon, who's decided, quite cheekily if I may say, to do this show from her bed.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm in bed for two reasons. I've been a bit poorly this week, but also it's bedtime here, so I figured I'm going to go to bed.
Oh, it's nothing to do with you being lazy.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I'm just trying, you know what I'm doing? It is 9:36 p.m. in the Northern Territory.
9:36 p.m. and that's your bedtime?
Well, it is usually because I live with a bunch of boys who work in mines and stuff. So they're always sort of up and clanging around at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I tend to wake up when they're clanging around because they're clanging around. So I wake up and I'm on their clock. But that's okay because I'm a daytime person anyway, and that's fine. And I know that at least at 4:30 in the morning, I can have a conversation with some people your side of the pond.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we've just had that explanation. And basically what it boils down to is she goes to bed at 9:30 a.m. because she lives with a load of blokes.
Yeah, she's so exhausted from living with a load of blokes. Sounds a bit dodgy, but it's not what you think. I'm more like the den mother.
Do you actually live in a mining community?
No, I live in in one of the main cities in Australia, but there's a mining, well, it's not a mine, it's the liquid natural gas pipeline that's going in. And all the boys that live here are either building it, or in the case of my other half, Robbie, they're surveying it, and there's another guy living here who does the fire and rescue from the site. So there's a whole bunch of different people living here. It's quite an interesting setup. But I do know, a bit of goss for you, and luckily for Eric, I'm not leaving Darwin. I was going to be, because he'd have to change the masthead again. But he should just put Rachel Brunsdon Australia on the masthead, and then we're pretty safe. But we're going to be moving to a place called Nullumboy.
Nullumboy? That's India.
Nullumboy. I know. It's actually Aboriginal. But close enough. So we're going to be going there, which is another 3,000 Ks away, and, oh, goodness, even further north than I am now. And
really?
I thought, that'd be fun. It's apparently a lovely little place with a population of about 4. And I thought, geez, I'm going to be really bored. But that's okay. Then they said to us the other day, no, we're not sending you there. You can stay in Darwin. And I thought, well, you make up your melons. I started packing.
What's Darwin like? You say it's one of Australia's major cities. Last night, I'll tell you why I'm asking. Last night I was watching an Australian film, and I must say it was one of the direst films I've ever seen. But it was called Gone. I don't know if you've seen it, about Oliver Pudlian and you know it.
Ooh, yes.
It's terrible. Absolutely appalling. But what it did, it painted such a dour, depressing, unwholesome picture of Australia. I was appalled. Everywhere you went, every hotel you went in had broken chairs, windows that were smashed, people just drinking and getting paralytic, violent, in unintelligent conversations. It was appalling. Australia's not really like that, is it, Rachel?
Oh, no, that's just a Saturday night. But No.
In your house. Yeah.
It's with all these boys. That's
the boys' round.
It's happening next door, right, as we speak. It depends where you're living. It doesn't really usually – it doesn't happen in our major cities like that. I think it can get a bit rough and rowdy out in the rural areas, so like when you go rural remote. But no, not generally. I think that might have been for, you know, some sort of storytelling vehicle. But clearly the Australian Tourism Commission wouldn't use it as a commercial.
Well, they did that. They did a similar thing to Slovakia. Hang on, ladies and gentlemen, I better introduce our other partner here. The glorious, the disembodied voice of the winter wonderland that is Slovakia. It's Petra!
Yeah, you've been yapping for 5 minutes and I thought you actually forgot about me. Hello, everybody.
I was thinking, better get to Petra. This is going to be embarrassing.
Yeah, 5 minutes. I've been left out. That's really good.
I was sorry. The last.
I know. The last is the best.
The last is the best for you. Right. You're the sort of person you keep to the side of the plate to keep until the end.
Right. What was that?
don't even think about it.
Rachel, move out of bed and is going to the loo.
Rachel's calling. You can't say that on the air.
Why not? I can do anything I want. I'm the one who is.
Yeah, you're the one who's got the buttons.
Yeah.
She's driving the bus.
Just don't make the noise, Rachel.
Why are you making noise? Close the door.
Yeah, close the door, Rachel.
I didn't open a door. I'm sitting in my bed. How can I open a door?
She says you're going to the gentleman's ablution.
I'm an adult. I go beforehand. Petra doesn't have to pull the...
Oh dear. Anyway, the reason I was just interested, I was trying to get a picture painted for the listeners of what Australia's like where Rachel lives. And what I was going to say to you, Petra, is didn't Hollywood do exactly the same thing to Slovakia a few years ago with that awful, awful film called Hostel?
Yes, that was terrible. I mean, if I was a foreigner and I watched this film, I would never even thought of coming here.
No, honestly, I don't. Did you see that film, Rachel?
No.
You better heard Hostel.
I won't look at it because it'll skew my vision. And I won't look at it. I'll come to Slovakia first, and then I'll look at it.
Yeah.
It did. It was a cruel view of Slovakia. Slovakia is a very sort of... Correct me. You can correct me as much as you want on this, Petra, because I'm just going to wax lyrical now. I love Slovakia, like you know, and I love the Slovak people. But Slovakia really is basically a masculine country, isn't it? Would you say that?
Anything you say.
Thank you, but I'll carry on. It's a masculine country, ladies and gentlemen. Very macho. And it's a sort of country where if you've got a problem, you expect it to be sorted out in an honourable fashion. That might not be using the law, but that might it would satisfy your honour. I don't mean there's anything terrible happens, but it's that way. The way this film, Hostel, painted Slovakia was murderously awful. It was one of the most gangrenous films I've ever seen in my life, and I think that's terrible. So there you are, you've had your introduction now, Petra.
Oh, thanks a lot.
And we have to now explain what's happened to the wonderful Mr. Wiltshire again.
Well, have a
yes.
go.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we all know, that lovely Eric tries to do things that shock and
lovely Eric.
People.
Yeah. That's making me cough. He's not lovely at all.
He is since he started up his combo.
Oh, actually, he is lovely when he's 1,500 kilometres away from me.
Oh, Petra, that's so cruel.
I'm sorry, Eric.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. He's not gallivanting. He's just suddenly decided out of the blue that it would be interesting to hear what Rachel and I and Petra sound like together in his absence. And he gave us 3 minutes warning. It was like a nuclear war just gone off. I'm not coming on the show, he said in his Cockney accent.
But we can manage without him.
Bleeping show. Like that. That's what he said.
And then Lee said, what a load of rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, actually, what I actually said, Rachel, was, ooh, heck.
Like that. Yeah, that's what he wrote to me on Skype.
So that's it. So this is where we've ended up. And in a long, strange, glorious way, we finally ended up at this incredible list that I put together in 3 seconds.
Brilliant.
So, should we start then?
I thought we already started 10 minutes ago.
Have we only done 10 minutes?
We're padding.
I know, nothing wrong with a bit of padding, is there, Rachel?
Absolutely not. I'm sitting on some lovely memory foam right now. So.
Anyway, let's go to Real Gone Kids, that really awful. Everybody takes the mickey out of the dead, which is terrible. You should not take the mickey out of the dead.
No, you shouldn't.
The first one we're going to mention, I think this is sad, really, but I think lifestyle and everything contributed in a way. Philip Chevron, the guitarist with the Irish folk punk band The Pogues, has died, and he was only 56.
So sad, so young.
Is 56 young?
In a way, it is.
See, 56, 2 decades ago, no, or 3 decades ago, was seen as actually, you know, when you'd look at people who were in the 50s and you think they were really old, wouldn't you?
Rachel?
Yeah.
Rach, he's true. Asking about this because he wants us to say he's still young.
I am still young. I'm 20.
Well, you don't look it, but you might feel that way.
No, I'm in that glorious sense of 20-year-olds who look like that bloke out of the Rolling Stones.
There's a way to settle it easily. There's a way to settle it pretty easily. Well, what we'll do is just simply remove one of your limbs and count the rings.
Count the what?
The rings.
Oh, the rings. Sorry. No, that came across to me with an M on the beginning, which means a totally different thing.
Mering.
Anyway, poor old Philip Ryan, right? Philip Chevron.
He was crook.
He's what?
He was really crook, wasn't he? He was really crook. He was really sick.
I know he was. He was born in Dublin, and he started with a band called The Radiators from Space. And then went on to join the Pogues. He was also, he actually played on the hit single Fairy Tale of New York, which featured Kirsty MacColl, that tragic figure who got, like, well, she died in awful circumstances in the sea with her children, didn't she?
Did she? I don't know her. I don't know who she is, and I've never heard this story, but that sounds really less than average day.
Well, it was, tragic. Kirsty MacColl was the daughter of Ewan MacColl, who was one of the biggest 1960s folk revival acts in the UK. And Kirsty went on to have her own career, really good career, really excellent career, and did some beautiful things. And I can't remember where it happened, but she was on holiday with her children. It's a long time ago, about 12 years ago, maybe even more. And she got caught in the draft of a boat with a, you know, those outboard engines.
Oh, not in the wake of it.
Yeah, and it was awful. Anyway, we're not talking about Kirsty MacColl. We're talking about poor
old. No, thank you for filling me in on that.
Thought it might help. I'm just interested that he had a band called The Radiators from Space. There's a friend of mine who you might know, Rachel. I know you won't, Petra, which is sad, but I've forgotten his name. He's such a good friend.
He's a really great friend whose name I can't recall.
I remember that he's still my friend, Edgar Broughton. Do you remember Edgar Broughton's band?
Yeah.
Well, he's a mate of mine, believe it or not. And it was just that the punk band was called The Radiators from Outer Space. He's now, Edgar's now in his, like, probably in his 70s now, his early 70s, certainly his late 60s. And he's still playing, but he's opened a shop. If you remember, the Edgar Porten Big Band were one of the most spacey, outrageously out there space cowboy bands ever. Anyway, he's opened a gift shop, and he's called it "It Fell Off the Back of a Spaceship."
Well, that's brilliant.
Does that not translate into Australian? Because one of the phrases we use over here is "It fell off the back of a lorry." Oh,
yeah, we do that. We just substitute the word lorry for truck.
For truck. Why don't you call them lorries? Because you can't say lorry.
Because they're not a man wearing a hat, you know, in a library. You know, Uncle Laurie. They're not. they're trucks.
Right. Anyway, as I've now into trucks and vehicles, let's talk about poor old Speedy Maria, eh? Maria Devilota. Have you heard of her?
No.
I have. I've heard her name.
Oh, jeez.
It was something to do with cars, and I know who you mean, and I do know this story.
Yeah, like Eric says, yeah. Something to do, every time he mentions Formula One, I say, yeah, that's something to do with cars, isn't it, Eric? And, yeah, that's right, yeah. She was a reserve racing driver for Formula One, Maria Devilota. And I don't know how old she was. I think she was only about 33.
She's very young.
Yeah, and she's been found dead in a hotel in Seville, Spain. No reason given.
I don't know. It just that reeks, really, doesn't it?
That what? Sorry, it's, Rachel.
It reeks. It smells. It's on the nose. It's not good.
No, not at all. She was one of those women who could carry something off. Which I actually here's another revelation. Right, I actually only have one. Right, I only have one eye. I've got both eyes, but only one eye works. Right. And I've always wanted to wear a black eye patch so I look like a pirate. But
you'd be a good pirate.
Yeah, but they've also always said if I do that, what little sight's left in my, hang on, let me have a look, right eye, would virtually vanish. And I would overwork my left eye. So I've never been able to wear one. But as tragic as it is, poor old Maria actually lost her eye in a crash and wore a black patch. And she was one of those women who carried it off so well. She looked glorious.
Really? It was a whole fashion thing. It became, you know, sort of iconic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. She became more famous. She actually became more famous for her eye patch than she did for her actual Formula One racing.
Well, that's because eye patches are intrinsically more interesting than Formula One racing.
Yeah. Anything that stops you seeing Formula One's more interesting. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. At least you get a good look at the patch. You know, you don't get to, when she wanders fast, you get a good look at the patch.
Yeah. What's the biggest fashion iconic item in Slovakia, Petra? Like an eye patch. Is there anything that people wear, like something completely outrageous and meaningless? Like in Britain, blokes, for some reason, wear the trousers so low that you can see their undercrackers.
Well, it used to be here as well, but not. I think it's sort of wearing off now. I always thought of the idea, like, imagine dog racing a person wearing those type of jeans or trousers. Do two steps, fall down the nose, and that's it.
That's brilliant. I always wonder how they didn't trip on them, you know. It's how does that happen? It seems like this kind of gravitational miracle that they never fell over themselves.
You know, those trousers. Those trousers remind me of when the baby is done something in its pants.
Yes. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So all you people All you skateboarders who walk around with your trousers showing your undercrackers and other cracks as well, I have to be honest. Yeah, you all look like big babies who've had an accident.
Yeah.
That's it. Me. I didn't say that. Petra said that.
Full nappy.
That's it.
But you've got the age for it, so you might have done it anyway.
I'm only 20.
Cheeky bugger.
Accidents happen.
Yeah, don't cry.
Anyway, to continue the serious theme of this radio programme, there's something terrible happened in Britain. You can't laugh at this.
I'm not. I'm composing
no,
myself.
We're laughing at the image of you. Okay, get serious.
All right. Anyway, okay. The remains of two people have been found in a garden in North Nottinghamshire. Now, Nottinghamshire is really famous for what? What's Nottingham famous for? Oh, Robin Hood!
Robin Hood. Oh, of course, Nottingham. I got confused when you made it longer with the shit on the end.
I think we lost Lee.
Hello? Again?
Again?
Pause. Hit the pause button. Hey, don't go anywhere. Where to come back? I don't know anything about Nottingham shit.
Maybe he couldn't put up with the idea of his pants.
He's full nappy. Maybe he's got a full nappy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Did you have a full nappy?
Watch out, I'm still recording.
That's all right. I'll tell the story while we try and get him back. So, remains of two people have been found in the... Oh, human remains in the back garden of a property. That's terrible.
I know.
But it's been there for a while by the looks of this. It seems to have, this alleged incident seems to have taken place in the 90s. That's a bit disturbing. So I haven't identified the remains. Okay. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, welcome back.
Yes, now we can. I'm trying to tell this story without you. I don't
I just had to have a little bit of a lie down.
I was going to say, I thought we were all going to go to bed.
Yeah, I just had a little, I felt a little bit tired and had a lie down. Sorry about that, everybody. So have you told them that story, Rachel?
Yeah, we've told them that story. It's terrible. If it seems to have, but these remains seem to have been there for a while. That's
over
not very good. I think
over a decade, yeah. And what looked into now? Are crimes from a decade ago to see if they are. These things usually, particularly as the two bodies, it's not like, you know, these usually turn into something quite horrendous. And
the whole... Like one guy fell down and then another guy fell down a bit later but happened to be right on top of the other guy. That's not very feasible.
Absolutely not. Right, anyway, we've taken the mickey out of the dead now. So let's... Yeah. I don't think... Take the mickey out of this. This is the story of Malala Yousafzai, who's just received a major prize with a $65,000 award after she was shot by the Taliban on her school bus in 2012 for what was described as Western thinking. And she's now in line for a Nobel Peace Prize. She's quite amazing. Sorry, Rachel.
I think there was confirmation today. I think you'll have to check this for me, anybody in Google. But CNN did a breaking thing that I saw today that she didn't win it. The envoy that checked weapons in Syria won it.
Right. Yes, that's right. They did. Yeah, they've got that as well. That's fine. Well, yeah, whatever. At least she was put up for the award, which, you know, is what the story says. She was a contender for the Nobel Peace Prize. What bothers me about this story is that she's 16 years old. She's obviously had such an amazing life, well, not an amazing life, a tragic life, a horrific life in many ways. And but is she becoming the new media circus, do we feel?
I don't know. She's on a book tour. And I know she had some things to do, and there was, and I think she's just, and it's also today actually is the day of the girl, and she's promoting, you know, education for girls, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. She was on Jon Stewart's show, The Daily Show, 2 days ago.
Yeah. Why would she go on that?
To promote her book, plus he's a big fan of hers.
That's exactly what I'm saying. She's going on, or she isn't choosing to go on Jon Stewart's show. I'm sure she's never heard of Jon Stewart. I actually think Jon Stewart is one of the funniest men in the world. But that's the point.
Brilliant.
Why would a girl who's been through what she's been through, why would she choose to go on a comedy hour rather than, you know, it just seems something isn't quite right about this story to me.
Well, I don't know. You know, she seems like she... I mean, did you see it, Lee?
I didn't actually see it, but I've read the transcripts of it.
It's
yeah.
brilliant. If you look at it, he was very, very gentle with her and very respectful and made those goofy dad-type jokes with her. And he was brilliant with her. He handled her beautifully. And when I say handled, I don't mean that. I don't mean it that way either, but I don't mean he didn't handle her metaphorically.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But she was, she's very savvy, this girl. She wants to get her message as far and wide as she possibly can. So that's her mission. It's her mission. She's really on a mission. And I think she's choosing these particular programs because they have phenomenal audience reach.
That's
so
right,
she can get her message out even further and further and further. I really don't think she's being shoved onto anything.
You don't think she's being manipulated by
people? Girl who can. She was telling this story in the Daily Show interview. And guys, if get on YouTube, it's right there. And look up Jon Stewart's interview with her. She was saying she told this story about when she realized she was being targeted by the Taliban.
Yeah.
And she didn't believe it to be true. And then she of course, thought to herself later, well, what would you do if he approached you? And she said her first response, and she giggled when she said it, she said, my first response would be to hit him with a shoe.
That's right.
Very cute. And then she said, but then she thought, no, that's being just as cruel as he is. You have to talk to him and show kindness and explain why education is important and don't you want this for your children and that for your children. And it was really very moving, actually. If you, you should have an actual look at it, Lee, because it's just beautiful.
I've read the transcripts of it. And even in transcript form, it is quite startling. No, I'm not disrespecting this girl at all. I think what she's doing is right. I just don't understand this media thing that's come around her. Anyway, that's it. We've got to go. That's the end of part one.
This is RTI, Radio Tatras International.